So the hospital waiting lists are up again. And what has happened? The government have reduced their targets. We're going to get a sense of this from Michael Bloomfield this morning, the Director of Corporate Service and Performance Management from the Health and Social Care Board. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, good morning. Let's just deal before we get into this. It's actually Sam McBride's story in the front page of the newsletter today. Stormont quietly shifted goalposts for waiting lists. So in April 2014, Sam's story is the ministerial target for outpatients was that by April 2014, at least 80% of patients should wait no more than 9 weeks for a first outpatient appointment, with no one waiting more than 15 weeks. Now that has been reduced. It's been reduced from 80% in no more than 9 weeks to 50% of patients waiting no more than 9 weeks for a first appointment. From 80% to 50%. So that's not an improvement in service. The government have just reduced their own targets. And what's that about?
And Stephen, there's nothing done quietly, as you suggest, in this. This is the annual process. Every year, the minister and the department set out the minister's targets for the year. Sometimes that introduces new targets, sometimes that drops off other targets. But what the department does do each year, it reviews each of those targets and revises them, if necessary, to take account of the performance at the time and the availability of resources. There is no point in continuing to have a target that is absolutely unrealistic, cannot be achieved. The public would understandably expect to receive service in line with those targets, and there is no hope of doing it. And it would also be very demoralising for staff trying to work to targets that are totally unrealistic. So there was an adjustment in the elective care waiting time targets for this year that we're in, for 16-17.
Yeah, they were realistic just a couple of years ago.
Those targets...
Someone sat down and decided 80% was realistic just a couple of years ago.
The elective care targets have changed most years over the last 10 years. I could look back to 10 years ago when there was only a target for inpatient waiting times and no targets for outpatients. As performance improved over a number of years, up until around 2013-14, those targets were improving, but significant in this, and it's consistent with what you actually see in the numbers. Good progress was being made on elective waiting times up until around the middle of 2014. The financial position changed to such an extent in the middle of 2014 where there was none of the additional money that was previously available for what are called waiting list initiatives, sometimes sending patients to the independent sector, and waiting times rose sharply from them. To have simply left the target as it was at the time would have been meaningless. The target had to be revised to take account of the reality of the funding position.
But the public should now know that if targets are being met or even getting close to being met, it is because the government has made it easier for themselves to hit it. They've reduced their target. They haven't got more efficient. They haven't got better. They've reduced their own target significantly. 2014, 80% within 9 weeks. Now it's only, they only expect to hit 50% of patients waiting no more than 9 weeks.
And current,
80% to 50%.
And that, as I say,
is terrible, isn't it?
But the waiting times are currently unacceptable, Stephen. You're referring there to the proportion of patients should be seen within 9 weeks. If it was 80% within 9 weeks, if you weren't part of that 80%, if you were the 20% waiting longer, the 80% in 9 weeks didn't mean an awful lot to you.
So what this actually means is the government, if you extrapolate that target line in Sam's story this morning, front page of the newsletter, what that actually means is the government's saying out loud, this is getting drastically worse. We predict this is getting drastically worse.
And that has been the case and has been openly reported for the last year. Elective care is a very complex system, but in one respect, there's a fairly straightforward element linked to the targets. Demand is increasing year on year, and there's a certain amount of capacity in the health service. The capacity in the health service has been fairly static, fairly fixed for the last number of years because of the financial position. The demand increases year on year. We now have a position, and this is relevant to the target, we're now at a position where the demand for a first outpatient appointment is 65,000 more than there is capacity for. The demand for treatment for an operation is 35,000 more than there is capacity for. So, in a straightforward way of looking at it, if trusts fully deliver all of their capacity, given the demand, so they're doing all that could be asked of them, if The demand is, as I've said, waiting lists will increase by 65,000 outpatients a year, by 35,000 treatment. That has got to be reflected in a target. Otherwise, it's meaningless to continue to hold anybody to account against a target that cannot be achieved.
Well, the Health Minister, Michelle O'Neill, has a new plan to tackle the problem. It's due to be announced in January. But of course, and this is the point I was making to the Minister when I met her in October, that's all fine that she's announcing some type of plan in January. But for those people sitting on waiting lists now, November, and we're sitting in waiting lists in October when she announced her plan, and are sitting in them next month in December, it's no good to them. Some plan coming in January, because waiting lists, will, what will have happened? They'll have gone up again since she announced her plan. Let's just remind ourselves, you might want to put those headphones on, Michael, to hear this. This is what Michelle O'Neill told me in October.
I have said from the very start that waiting lists are unacceptable to me, and I will do absolutely everything in my power. Okay. I've set out to you in the short term how we're going to deal with it, and I've also set out in terms of the long term. It is absolutely costly.
How much are you spending within the next 5 years?
I don't know if you read the document yet, Stephen, but what the document clearly points to, in terms of how we're going to redesign our health service in the future, we're going to work with patients, staff, carers and families. We're going to co-design services. We're going to produce services together. The way we're going to do that is to make sure that I set out how I'm going to do it. Then I'm going to work. I don't have all the answers in terms of the health service.
Is it costed?
Yes, I've told you that it will cost it, but I've just
said the total costs of this document, the visions in this document?
I've told you that I'm working with the executive have endorsed the vision. They've endorsed the plan. They've also recognised that we need additional funding to be able to transform the system.
But you've said it's costed, so what's the total cost of the visions in this?
There's an executive process. We've gone through the budget process over the next month, and then we'll be able to announce
it to the
chamber.
That executive process would then release the money.
We'll be informed by this document.
If it's costed, what's the total cost of your vision in this document?
I'll go through my processes with the executive first, and then I'm very happy to talk about the cost.
You don't know, do you? It's not costed.
Oh, absolutely, I do know.
If it was costed, it would be in this document.
No, it doesn't necessarily. I've told you, the executive have backed the plan, they've endorsed the plan, they've endorsed the vision, and in doing so, they've also endorsed the need to tackle waiting lists, and also the way that we fact that we need a fund to transform the service.
So that's just some of what I said to the Minister. Are you aware of a costed plan?
You were discussing with the Minister, Stephen, in the context of her announcement that she made on 25th of October, the totality of her plan,
yes,
delivering together. No, I'm not aware of the cost in delivering that plan. The position is, as the Minister said...
They haven't told you there's a costed plan? You're the Director of Corporate Services?
In the Health and Social Care Board. I'm not in the department.
I know that, but they haven't told you of a costed plan?
We are working closely with the department in relation to all elements of taking forward the Minister's vision, as indeed the rest of the social care system.
And I want to get into the actual waiting list, but can I just ask this and then I'll move on from it. How could you be working closely with a department and a minister if she, a month ago, had a costed plan for her vision and she hasn't shared that with you?
Stephen,
and she hasn't shared it with anybody, by the way, the journalist I know. Where is this costed plan?
You were talking to the Minister about her document delivering together.
Costed plan I was talking to the Minister about. No one's seen it.
A key element of delivering together is elective care, but it is only one element. There are a range of issues to be addressed within delivering together. Elective care that we're talking about today is one element. The Minister has made clear that she will bring forward a plan in January specifically around proposals to address waiting lists. That is both to transform the way services are delivered moving forward, and that is absolutely required, and it's also to address the current backlog.
Okay.
We in the board are working closely with the department in relation to the development of that
plan.
Let's
get a sense now of at least where we're at the moment. And by the way, if you're on a waiting list and you want to call us this morning, 03030 80 55 55. So these figures are published
quarterly.
So this is up to what
this
period?
Is up to the end of September.
Okay, so this is July, August, September of this year.
It is, yes.
Okay. How much have they gone up?
Compared to the same time last year, there were 155,000 people waiting over 9 weeks for a first outpatient appointment. At the end of this September, there were 167,000. That has been mitigated. That is actually an increase for those people. That's a terrible position to be in, but that's a relatively small increase in that year. That was mitigated because of the significant additional activity that was undertaken from December to March last year with the additional funding the executive
That's
allocated.
The 40 million that
it is.
That the executive it gave is. For waiting lists. Not all of it was spent, on waiting lists because there was a finite time period within which it could be spent.
But a huge amount of money in a relatively short time.
Yeah.
And that highlights, Stephen, and this is something the Minister said, and I would strongly agree with it, that highlights the way to address waiting lists is not by short-term injections of cash where the service has to quickly organise itself to do a whole load of additional activity in evenings and weekends and with the independent sector. We need to transform the way they're delivered.
I get that. And we'll look at the longer plan in a second. But what you've just said there is interesting because, again, it was part of the train of thought that I was at least trying to address with the Minister, which was, look, there's no doubt that the money the same time last year had an effect. You've just said that it mitigated these numbers.
They would have been, had that money not been available last year for that volume of additional activity that was undertaken by a huge effort by people across health and social care, these figures would obviously be higher.
So are you not deeply disappointed that they gave you nothing this year? Nothing. Not a penny. So last year, 40 million. Not all of it was spent. This year, not a penny.
Not one penny. There has been additional funding through this year for elective activity.
No, I'm talking about in the same sequence as last year.
So there is currently some additional funding to trust to carry out additional activity in-house on patients where there are the greatest issues in addressing waiting times.
But the same initiative, just so I'm not being inaccurate, the same 40 million initiative that Simon Hamilton secured, did you get any of that this year?
No.
Are you not deeply disappointed?
That is not the way to address waiting times, Stephen.
But it's mitigated last year.
I accept for the patients who benefit from that, and there are many patients who would again benefit.
So exactly.
I fully accept that. But it really is not the way to deliver a sustainable service. If we look back over 5-6 years, you can see waiting times go up and down as short-term one-off injections of cash are made available. Sometime, like last year, they're for a very short time, 3-4 months. Other times, they last a bit longer. As soon as that money is not available, the waiting times increase. We have to expand health service capacity. There are challenges around doing that, about getting staff. There's challenges around increasing the physical infrastructure, theatres, etc. But crucially, and this is what we look forward to in hearing from the Minister in January in her plan, crucially, we have got to find more effective ways of managing patients within other settings, within primary care, that we do not have the current pathway for most patients, which is you go to your GP. If they can no longer manage you, you get referred to a hospital for an outpatient appointment, for a diagnostic test and possibly for treatment.
And that quarter, as you said, is up until the end of September of this year. So we still have the next quarter, October, November, December, before the Minister announces her plan. Waiting lists will go up again because there's no money.
They will.
So because of that figure I outlined.
A gap of 65,000 a year.
Yeah.
So over the next 3 months, we can expect waiting times to increase by a proportion of that.
How much do you think?
Well, if it's a gap of 65,000 a year, we would expect the number of people waiting, the total numbers on the outpatient waiting list to increase by around 15,000 in the next quarter, of which a proportion of those will be waiting over the longer waiting times.
So by the time the Minister makes her announcement in January, what she will be doing in trying to improve waiting lists is trying to get us back to where we are before now. So if they had have injected some cash now, they could have at least tried to control the situation so that there would be a net gain from, say, September after the Minister's new plan. But what's happening is we're allowing them to go up and then we're trying to bring them back down again.
Well, huge effort, Stephen, is going on to not allow them to go up. But more people are being added to a waiting list each week that are being taken off it simply on the basis of demand strips capacity. But huge effort is being made by trusts to see as many patients as possible. They are prioritising the most clinically urgent patients. An example of that productivity...
But you're telling me that you don't think this government could have found 15 or 20 million?
Government...
They couldn't have found that for now, so that when the Minister could get a head start in January, they couldn't have found a penny.
Well, Stephen, that's a matter for the executive. We're all very well aware of the very difficult financial environment in which we're operating, not just here in Northern Ireland, but right across the UK and further afield. That gives government decisions to make, choices to make.
And they made the decision.
And that is that is very difficult.
They made the decision to put a penny into our waiting list.
What I am doing, and my colleagues in the Health and Social Care Board, along with trusts, are making sure with the resources we do have, we're using those to maximum effect. In the first half of this year, you wanted comparisons this year to last year. In the first half of this year, compared to the same period last year, there's been a 4% increase in the number of outpatients seen and a 7% increase in the number of patients treated.
And I guess that's really significant because things were tight already.
Yes.
So that's good performance.
Anything that can be done to see more patients within existing resources. But I would stress again, Stephen, anything that's done in that regard is short term. If we look at last year with what happened, the waiting times did improve from December to March, and that was excellent for those patients who benefited. It still left very many patients waiting. They've increased again. Putting in those short term injections of cash are only a sticking plaster. What needs to be done is to transform our health and social care services. There's already a lot of examples of good, innovative, exciting work taking place across trusts with primary care.
And we
need to see more of that moving forward.
And let's look at the bigger plan in just a second. Sam McBride, who wrote this story on the front page of the newsletter, can join us now. Morning to you, Sam.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Your headline, Stormont quietly shifted goalposts for waiting lists. Michael Bloomfield here this morning, who's Director of Corporate Services and Performance Management, saying there's nothing quiet about this. Basically, what they're trying to do is set realistic targets based on what's happening within the service.
I think there are two issues here. First of all, how Stormont went about this in terms of whether this was announced publicly, whether it was something that was open to public debate, and secondly, whether it is the right thing to do. And I think that Michael has made a very logical argument as to why perhaps in the current situation it is ludicrous having a target which is simply unattainable. If that was the case, it begs the very obvious question, why on earth did Stormont not come out and be entirely upfront with people and say, this is the situation in which we're in. If you're on a waiting list, you actually have no realistic prospect of being seen within what was our target. Therefore, we're shifting it, and we're going to try to hit that target. That's not what seems to have happened here. Certainly, when I contacted the Department of Health yesterday, and I'm still waiting for any sort of response from them whatsoever, you would think that if they had a very good reason for doing this, they would be very upfront about telling that to the public, about explaining that. So far, there's been silence. I mean, Michael is the first person that I've heard coming out to try to articulate what is quite a logical explanation for this, but it's one which hasn't been made by politicians.
Well, Stephen, as I said, annually the department publishes all of its targets under a document called Commissioning Plan Direction. The board produces a document in response to that called a Commissioning Plan. That is,
I'm not sure ordinary people read Commissioning Plans.
No. But those documents are published, they're on websites, the targets are available. The annual publication of the department's targets is a straightforward document that is available for anybody who wishes to see it. The explanation that I have provided for why the waiting time targets were changed this year is the position. I believe that's a sensible and responsible approach.
Is that the worst so far, 50%? Of people, the target now 50% of people within 9 weeks. Has it ever been worse than that?
Stephen, if we go back 10 years ago, we didn't count the number of people waiting for a first outpatient appointment.
Yeah, but since we've started counting, is that the worst so far?
The number of people now currently waiting over 52 weeks for a first outpatient appointment is probably as long as it has been in 7 or 8 years. And that's a reflection on the increasing demand and the need to urgently transform the way services are delivered. We cannot, it is simply unrealistic to continue to try to chase increasing demand by putting in money. Even if, and I think this is an important point, Stephen, even if the funding was available, and we know the climate we're in, we would not be able to recruit the number of staff or have the physical infrastructure we need to meet demand that's growing at the rate it has been.
So, Sam, I don't want to keep you on the phone here, but before we let you go, so your point, Sam, is tell the public what a realistic waiting time for them is then, if you're sitting on a waiting list, right?
This is a matter of considerable public debate. The figures yesterday show something like 240,000 cases of people, and of course some of those may be the same person with several ailments, but 240,000 situations where people are on a waiting list. I think those people have a right to know what's going on. It's not good enough to say that this is buried in some detailed report somewhere on a website. Was the Assembly told about this? Was this issued in a press release? I'm pretty sure it wasn't, and certainly until now the department has not come forward in any way to make any sort of explanation for this.
Okay, Sam McBride, thank you.